Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm aces.
You seem to have a little more pepper this morning.
Yes, I have that.
I think that has to do with the fact that you ate a quarter pound of M&Ms before we sat down.
Well, you know, one of our guilty pleasures is candy.
Yeah.
You and I love it. One of the big moments here at the radio station.
Yeah.
They got Toblerone in the candy machine for a little while. It's all gone, though. I don't know where it went.
You need a life, man. Really?
Toblerone. Come on. Whenever my father would go to Europe when I was a little kid, before Toblerone was available in this country, He'd always bring back one of those big bars of Toblerone.
You know, it's funny. The thing about chocolate is where you get chocolate from is very different. Even the Nestle company.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is a big company. If you buy Nestle chocolate in Europe,
it tastes different.
It's very different than the chocolate we have here.
It tastes different.
And they say that American chocolate is, for the first time, more Americans prefer bittersweet chocolate, dark chocolate, than prefer milk chocolate.
Just a couple of years ago, Toblerone came out with the dark chocolate Toblerone bar.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I got to tell you, for mass-produced candy that you can buy on the shelves of most grocery stores, extra dark Toblerone is yummy.
I'm all in, man.
Sorry.
I'm all in.
So there you go. For those of you who think the restaurant guys are pretentious and stuffy.
Yeah, we're not snooty.
Every once in a while, we have a little Toblerone.
I'll stop at 7-Eleven. Okay.
Life is good.
But we are a little snooty. And and to pat ourselves on the back, we've been getting email through our webcasts, which are approaching 50,000 people. Are we crazy?
Yeah.
What's wrong with all of you? So one of the interesting things about it is we're in this little radio station in Central Jersey.
Eating Toblerone.
And doing great here in the Central Jersey listening area. But we're also pretty widely spread around the world. And one of the very interesting things is to get the emails from you all around the world. Please keep sending them. We love it. Here's one. Hi, guys. I just started subscribing to the podcast, and I love the show. I am an executive chef at Seward Winsong Lodge in Seward, Alaska.
That's far away.
As well as president of our local public radio station, your shows are a refreshing window into the restaurant world.
I'm sorry. It's not far away from Juneau, but it's far away from New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Keep up the great work, and if I'm ever in Jersey someday, I'll stop by your establishment. Eric, thanks a lot. I'm not going to leave the light on for you, but if you're ever coming down, let us know. Now, another email we got in the same week is from Tatsuji in Tokyo. And this is from Tatsuji in Tokyo. Hi, my name is Tatsuji, and I live over in Tokyo and love your show since I stumbled across it a week ago. I've been busy the past few days listening to all of your previous shows on iTunes. I was listening to one of your shows where you mentioned the ninja-themed restaurant in New York City, and guess what? It's the same as the owners of the Ninja Akasaka restaurant in Tokyo, Akasaka being a neighborhood in Tokyo. I was there for dinner back in February, and it was also subterranean with the drawbridge that comes down after a secret password is mumbled, yada, yada, yada.
I love the drawbridge. Come on.
Wait, staff all dressed up in ninja outfits, et cetera, and so forth. The entire experience was identical to the one you describe, except that here in Tokyo, the big difference is it's not pretentious. There are no $100 tasting menus. It's kind of a casual dining bar. Basically, the one in Tokyo is for a gag.
It's for fun. It's for fun. That was the whole idea.
For those of you who missed that show, there's a restaurant in New York City called Ninja. Ninja is a theme restaurant, which is full of hocus pocus. But the dinners there is like the menus, tasting menus, start at $100, $150 a person.
Yeah, I wish Ninja were a little bit more stealth.
Oh, my goodness. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And it got a horrible review in the New York Times. You can go look that up in the New York Times.
It got literally crushed.
And the thing about horrible reviews in the New York Times, sometimes the horrible ones are more fun to read than the other ones. Unless, of course, it's your restaurant.
I love to read one of those scathing reviews where the waiter comes in and says, Yes, our cake is made with Verona chocolate.
Yeah.
Where's the Verona chocolate from?
Instead of Valrhona,
which would come from the Valley of the Rhone.
My favorite all-time lines was Frank Bruni, the New York Times, when reviewing the New York version of Ninja, said that you show up and they offer you the simple straight way straight to your table or through the secret passageway, which is a bunch of garbage, and Frank Bruni recommends another way, which is right out the back door, because it's a mess.
And come on, if I'm going to Ninja, I'm taking the secret passageway, okay? I want rolling ninjas. I want people chopping my tomato with their hands.
I desperately want to go to the Ninja restaurant, but we're so busy through Christmas with our two restaurants. And if you haven't tried Catherine Lombardi and you do live in Central Jersey or in New Jersey at all, Catherine Lombardi is a great Italian restaurant. It came out
Brooklyn
beautiful.
Italian.
It came out beautiful.
It's come out very well.
But we're a little busy to get to the Ninja restaurant, and I'm so afraid it's going to close and go out of business before we can get there in January. So we hope it stays alive until then. Okay, I have another restaurant that actually got 2.5 stars in the Star Ledger, which is a New Jersey paper. And, you know, it seems like the reviewer, Cody Kendall, who's a great reviewer, whom we have a mm-hmm. lot of respect for, seemed to like it. I can't imagine that I would not hate this place. But who knows? Let's
who knows? No comments on the food, and because Francis and I haven't eaten there.
Oh, no.
So I can't tell you anything about the food in this restaurant.
But let me tell you, theme restaurants. I have a problem mm-hmm. with theme restaurants. Themes belong in parks. But they did get 2.5 stars, and I'll give you the name of it. It's called Voro, and it's in South Orange. And you can check it out on the Ledger. But here are a few things from it. Tiki torches wave a flamboyant welcome in front of Voro. I got a problem with that right there. Tiki torches in South Orange, New Jersey.
Is it tiki torches or flamboyant welcomes that you have a problem
with? Tiki torches in snow in South Orange, I got a problem with. But here's the big draw. Upstairs is the Champagne Loft, where the real relaxing is done on beds, replete with pillows a la South Beach.
Now, for those of you not from the Northeast, this whole bed restaurant craze seems to be catching on. And I can't really figure it out.
Here's the deal. We put a bed upstairs in the restaurant, and you can go upstairs, and there's an actual bed that you can lay on with pillows and have your champagne or your wine or whatever.
But
or your tapas.
Or your crackers.
Listen, I throw my girlfriend out of bed for eating in bed. Okay? Because you're not allowed to eat in my bed in my house. Why would I want a bed in the restaurant?
You know what I don't understand?
I mean, you can't even do the fun
South
things.
South Orange is about 15 minutes out of New York City.
Uh-huh.
Why does a bedroom community need a bedroom restaurant? Please explain that one. What's the thrill here? I get a little ooky going into a hotel room where people have stayed on the beds, and now I'm going to go into a restaurant where other people are eating on the beds. And
yeah, I don't get it. Check this out though. But if you're looking, if you're looking for a place to kick back and feel more with it than the average restaurant, Voro could suit you. You're also able to linger. The bar stays open a half hour later than the kitchen. That's not really with it, you know what I mean? What is that, like 11?
4 hours later
you can get home in time for the late show, you know? I don't get it. And also, Voro is more about being there than anything else.
You know what I love, though?
There's
a picture in the Ledger of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Everybody's at tables, nobody's on the beds.
Of course, because you're really ridiculous as an adult.
It's a little creepy. Being in a restaurant on a bed,
it's
too creepy for me.
Please come to Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. We have only chairs to offer you, no beds, and we'll be talking in a moment with a couple of Louisiana shrimp fishermen about what's going down with the American shrimpers in Louisiana, some of the best product in the world, some of the best shrimp you've ever had, and there's some interesting stuff going on down there. You'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left in Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we have with us a couple of special guests today, Charlie and Kim Chauvin, third-generation Louisiana shrimpers and owners of the shrimp company Mariah Jade. You may not have ever eaten American shrimp, and you may not know it. You may not realize that almost all the shrimp you buy in your market is from abroad and pretty much dumped on the American market. You've probably never had fresh shrimp, and that's a shame because there's nothing like it. The non-frozen shrimp that you're likely to buy in your market was frozen at one time, and it's just been thawed out. Trust me, I used to think that wasn't the case, but it really is. There's nothing like fresh shrimp. There's nothing like American Louisiana fresh shrimp. And our shrimpers were in a little bit of trouble before the hurricanes of this year, and now they face even greater challenges. And to talk about that situation, we have with us Kim Chauvin on the phone. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Kim. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Did I get that analysis of the situation fairly accurate?
Yes. We had our big problems with dumping by the six countries that we have a that we went to the ITC for.
Uh-huh. Can you help? Can you help talk to our listeners? They may not know what dumping is.
Which is six countries try to bring in shrimp to the EU, which was denied because of the antibiotics and chemicals on the shrimp.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it was all thrown into the United States market due to there wasn't enough testing going on in the past, which we are trying to correct at this present time to have it tested more increasingly by the FDA.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the differences between American Gulf shrimp that's harvested from the ocean by people like you and the shrimp that's coming in from the market. Now, you guys get your shrimp by, well, going out into boats into the ocean and catching shrimp, isn't that right?
Correct.
And the shrimp that's coming in from foreign places and being dumped on the market, how is that shrimp caught?
In a pond. It's actually in a pond that they drain and have the shrimp come out on conveyors. It's a little different because
yeah,
they have no taste.
Because it's not the ocean?
Right. Well, there's no taste. It's a bland shrimp.
Uh-huh.
Compared to the wild shrimp that we have and harvest. And this is not just from my say-so. The customers that I have across the United States have sent me emails saying, oh, my goodness, this is what shrimp is supposed to taste like.
And there's no question about it. It is, and it's not just flavor. It's also texture. You can really tell when you get a fresh American shrimp, the difference in
or
taste.
Or even frozen American
or
shrimp.
Or even a frozen American shrimp. That's true. The difference in taste and texture between those and the imported shrimp is it's a completely different thing.
Well, let's talk about how that foreign shrimp is made. That's aquaculture shrimp. In other words, like you say, they take a pond, they drain the pond, they fill the pond up with and they feed the shrimp. It's a shrimp farming operation, which is a cheap way to make shrimp, but you know, like wild animals have more flavor than domesticated animals. Wild shrimp have more flavor than shrimp grown in these ponds. And when you grow shrimp in these ponds, they can do a lot of damage to the environment.
Right.
And in addition, you know, like you said, to keep the shrimp healthy in an unnatural way, they throw in a lot of antibiotics, and the shrimp don't have a lot of flavor.
And a lot of people aren't educated about this, and that's one of the reasons we're doing this show right now, is to educate people and let them know that there should be a difference in the price of these two things. It's much more expensive to go out into your small family boat and fish for shrimp than it is to, you know, have this aqua farm and grow shrimp there.
Now, I had read some outdated statistics, but that in 2000 the price of pound the shrimpers down in the Gulf were getting was $3 a pound, and then I read by 2003 it had gone down to $1.85 a pound. Where is it now?
We are at maybe like I think it's right at two. Mm-hmm.
And what's it cost? And what does it cost to go and get shrimp out of the Gulf? what's your break even?
Well, what it is that you have to catch a lot of shrimp,
right,
in order to break even. But we've done something a little differently from most fishermen in the United States. We've taken ours on a retail level. We're putting it on the internet. What people are getting straight off of our vessel, straight to their kitchens.
Now this is an interesting thing, and I want to talk more in depth about what happened. I want to talk about the hurricanes down there. But you have, and one of the reasons we asked you to come on the show is because you have decided to market your shrimp as a premium product, and I think that's the way a lot of American agriculture and fisheries are going to survive.
It's the way a lot of small farmers are surviving. They're surviving by doing things more direct, and there are more lines of communication open direct for any fisherman or farmer now to go direct to the
consumer. So how do you get your shrimp to a consumer? Do they go to a website and order it? How does that work, and how do you ship it?
Actually, we've been in the media quite a bit just due to the dumping case and about the wild American shrimp and just all the things that have gone on in our industry. So we've had that little edge up where people have evidently Googled my name and have found me, which is a great thing because that's what really pushed me to get back, you know, to get it on the internet. because I would guarantee what they're getting, they've probably never had before.
Absolutely.
Being
researchers.
Secondly, that the taste is going to be phenomenal over anything out of any grocery store they've ever had.
What is your website?
www.mariahjadeshrimp.com.
That's M-A-R-I-H-A, Jade.
M-A-R-I-A-H.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Just because I can't talk doesn't mean I can't spell.
Which is a real liability for a radio talk show host, I have to say. I'm really
curious. I was fine when I owned just a restaurant.
But well, if you haven't had American shrimp, you really are in it's completely a different product. And if you're buying in this local fish market, the local supermarket, you probably have not had American shrimp. Now, you ship just frozen or you ship fresh and frozen?
We will be doing fresh and frozen. Right now, it's just frozen. It's frozen within 30 minutes off the deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Off of our boat, it's frozen 30 minutes. I only keep it so much time, which would be maybe about 2 weeks, and I get rid of everything.
For your Christmas holiday, for Hanukkah, for your New Year's party, to get some real wild American fresh shrimp or frozen shrimp, if you're a foodie, absolutely will blow your guests
away.
You'll
never go back.
It's totally different than what you get in the market in that little platter. We'll be back in a moment talking with Kim Chauvin of Mariah's Jade Shrimp Company in Louisiana in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and the new Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest today is Kim Chauvin. She's a third-generation Louisiana shrimper and owner of the shrimp company Mariah Jade. And you can reach them at mariahjadeshrimp.com and get some great American shrimp, which, if you haven't had it, and you probably haven't had it, is a completely different product than what you can have in your supermarket, the deli case, and they all arrange it nice for you to dip in cocktail sauce. I can't recommend enough that you try the American shrimp. Now, Kim, what you come from Chauvin, Louisiana, is that correct?
Correct.
So that bears your name, doesn't it?
Yes, but that's more my husband's side of the family.
Well, I was going to say that sounds like you got a family that has some deep roots down there.
Yeah, we've been down here for quite a long time. A lot of descendants from, I think, Nova Scotia came down here, and we've been here for sometime.
Well, now, what is the life of a shrimper like? I mean, you know, when we talk a lot about farmers, and we talk about trying to preserve that way of life, and it's a hard way of life.
Yeah, I think everybody's got the, you know, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company is what they think about when they think
but
of shrimpers.
No.
So why don't you enlighten us?
Yeah, with your family operation there, you have a small company, is your whole family involved? How does it work? What do you do?
My whole family is involved. From my 9-year-old daughter to my 17-year-old son, I have a 15-year-old son also. My 17-year-old just purchased his first boat. He's been saving since he was 7.
Wow.
To do this. We all work together. Before the dumping, it was more to this way of life, where when my children were little, we would all go aboard the boat and work. And it was a lot of quality family time. There's no world interruptions. There's no telephone. You know, mm-hmm. We have telephone, but it's not, you know, you don't have 10 people calling you at one time.
Not on a boat, I would imagine.
Right.
Well,
like,
you're out on a boat.
Nice.
It's your family.
And, mm-hmm. Yes, you do a lot of stuff. But anyway, we work all together. And then when my children got older, we, you know, of course stopped for school, and my husband would go out with deckhands, which he brings two other men with him on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, we would go. And it was like our family vacation because we just had so much time to spend with each other. And it was really fun. We taught our kids how to cook. They know how to, you know, wash clothes. I mean, just the whole nine yards, they knew how to do things for themselves.
But it's a lot of hard work when you're out there.
It is, but you don't notice it when you're with your family.
Mm-hmm.
It's more now. My husband is having a really hard time staying out all, you know, during the summer because, you know, he's away from his family a lot, except for my 9-year-old goes out there. She loves this stuff. It's like a biology class all in itself for her. And even my older boys, I mean, they love doing it. My 17-year-old just got more involved in it. So the change came in like 2000, 2001.
Well, you know, I want to talk more about the change when we come back from the news. We're talking with Kim Chauvin. She's a third-generation Louisiana shrimper. Her whole family is involved in a shrimping operation down in Louisiana. And our American shrimpers are in trouble, and our American shrimp is some of the best shrimp in the world. And we need to take some action, and we need to eat some good food and do good by doing well. We'll talk more about what you can do in just a moment and what's going on, especially in light of the hurricanes, when we come back from the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon or reach us through restaurantguysradio.com, or now you can download our podcasts on iTunes.
And hey, if you're in Central Jersey and you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift or a not-last-minute Christmas gift, you can get gift certificates to Catherine Lombardi Restaurant, which is the newest Italian-American restaurant in New Jersey, actually, and it's really great, or at Stage Left. And you can call us at 732-828-4444 or go to our website and get links to the individual restaurants. Our guest today is Kim Chauvin. She is a third-generation Louisiana shrimper. She owns a shrimp company with her husband and her family called the Mariah Jade Shrimp Company. You can reach them at mariahjadeshrimp.com, and you may not have ever had really great American shrimp. It's much more flavorful than what you see in the markets, and you can buy it direct from an American shrimper at mariahjade.com. And around the holidays, I suggest it. Welcome back, Kim.
Thanks.
So Francis and I talk a lot about supporting the family farm and things like that. Realize that this is you know, a family business, a small-run family business. Now, this is just you, your husband, a couple deckhands, and your family. Is that true, Kim?
Two of the deckhands run the boat side with mm-hmm. my husband. He is the captain, and he has two deckhands aboard the boat. On the home base side, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
I deliver around here, also send off the shipments, you know, get what needs to be done.
Now, you have you took some classes, and after we had dumping, and dumping is where we had a lot of foreign countries are dumping very cheap aquaculture, mediocre shrimp on the market, and really taking
Vietnam, China, Thailand, a lot of places like that, Indonesia, India, have kind of come in and
taking the bottom out of the prices.
Put a lot of these farm-raised shrimp into the marketplace, dropping the prices a lot.
So what I have here is you went to Nicholls State University to study marketing and financial management and helped to start your retail business. Why don't you tell us about that?
That was one of the first steps. What happened was we had a few business leaders in around our what we call parish. You guys have a county that stepped up to the plate and kind of took me under their wing and kind of guided me on what to do. So the first thing I did was took the class. It was a 12-week class that I had taken. And, you know, at first you're kind of wondering, okay, how much is this going to help me? Which it did a great thing for me. We have been blessed beyond belief in getting a lot of things done. I was able to go into this class and learn from A to Z what I needed to do to develop a marketing business, get on the internet and such.
And how's the business doing?
Well, you know, everything starts to crawl in a crawling place, and then you begin to walk, and that's exactly what happened. It took us a little longer because we had to figure out, when you're dealing with food, there's a whole different thing when you're just dealing with non-food products.
Right.
So you have to go through the health department, mm-hmm. you have to go through your state department, then you have to get, you know, regulations from all your federal parts. So we did a good bit of that, has all that set up, and now we were able to put an informational web page together, which is now fixing to be changed in the next, say, 3 weeks. It will be changed in a way that people can order on the website, and you will get everything you need to know on it.
Well, now you can find out. You can go to this website, which is mariahjadeshrimp.com. And one of the things that's very interesting is, in the march of sort of agribusiness and huge companies taking over American food production, they can always do it cheaper than the small farmer or the small fisherman.
Correct.
But they often can't do it as well. And, you know, Kim was faced with is if she went to go sell her shrimp to a processor, it's going to wind up in the same box of frozen stuff as shrimp from anywhere else, and you're not going to be able to differentiate the product on the shelves. What you need to do out there, and what our mission is, you know, good taste is revolutionary. You have to be able to say, yeah, I don't want that garbage foreign aquaculture shrimp. It doesn't taste like anything. I want American shrimp. And that's exactly what you get from
and not just American shrimp, wild American shrimp.
Yeah,
correct.
Kim, can you tell us a little bit about now? Obviously, you guys were devastated by Katrina. Can you tell us a little bit about how that has affected your business and how that affected you?
Been a bad weather year for you guys down there.
Yeah, it has been unphenomenal for us. Something we were never expecting. That
unphenomenal. Unphenomenal is a great word.
I like that. Anti-phenomenal.
I'm adding that to my lexicon starting today.
So tell us how's the weather affected you and your neighbors down there?
Well, Katrina was more wind in our fishing part of the community. It devastated another couple fishing areas off to the east of us, which when I say devastated, there's nothing left on the land. The boats are sunk or turned over and such. But over here, we had a lot of wind damage and such. Our boats were fine. We did not get water for Katrina in our fishing area, which everyone knows what happened with Katrina on that end of it in New Orleans. But Rita came and hit the western end and hit the western side of another fishing community, and I'm talking there are no houses left on this land. Just as in Venice, there are no houses left on the east side in Venice. In the central part of Louisiana, what happened was, now this thing came off 150 miles off of our coast. We have a serious problem with coastal erosion. We have no barrier islands left, and it will take billions of dollars to put this back together.
You said billions, right?
I said billions, and I really mean billions.
What happened to the barrier islands? They just
coastal erosion. They've been doing studies since the 60s, and it seems that we've put money into it. We have a tax in our parish that puts money into it, which the state matches, which you go to get a grant to have it matched on the federal level. And every year we go there, we get pushed back because it's not important enough, evidently, in Washington, D.C.
Right.
But anyway, with all that, the barrier islands missing and such, I mean, we have people who trawl where they could not trawl 5 years ago.
Right.
You know, so the water came in. Our levees that we had broke in 33 places. We have houses that are 10 foot off the ground that got 3 to 4 foot of water in them.
And this was actually from Rita, not from Katrina.
This is from Rita. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear a lot about Katrina, and that was devastating enough. But Rita was just as devastating.
How far out of New Orleans are you guys?
I am about an hour and a half, 50 miles.
Is part of the problem now for you guys that the infrastructure is gone, that the places to land and sell your shrimp and all the support structures, how's that been affected?
We've had some that have totally been, you know, decimated. They're like, there's nothing left but the cement on the ground, and then some of that's even broken up. We have a lot more places. In the central part of Louisiana, all we had to do was follow our HACCP guides, which is your state and federal regulations about what to do in case of a flood, if any of your product has been hit with any of the water, you know, and which was destroyed and pulled off the market, and getting in there and cleaning with bleach and hospital cleaners and such to where everything is back to normal. So we were able to come back. It just took us a couple weeks to get that done. I, on the other hand, am a little different. I'm not a processor. We took our shrimp out of our freezer, which we have on land, and put it right back into our boat before the storm came so that we were fine.
Oh,
we
that's
would lose
great.
Absolutely nothing.
And I understand you had to actually move onto your boat for a little while because your house was so damaged.
We did move onto our boat. That's a normal thing around here, but after
we don't move onto our boats a lot around here.
In Jersey, yeah.
It's just not our...
Well, our boat is like a 73-foot steel hull, all the accommodations of home.
Wow.
It has three bedrooms, queen-size beds. It has a bathroom.
Kim, if I come down there, I want you to invite me to your boat for a party. That would be a lot of fun. Hey, listen, we'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Kim Chauvin. She's a third-generation Louisiana shrimper. We're talking about American shrimp, which you should pick up some for the holidays. And what's going on down there with the American shrimp market in general, especially in light of the recent weather? You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. And we're here talking with Kim Chauvin of MariahJShrimpCompany.com in Louisiana.
Kim, we were just talking a little bit about, obviously, the effects of Katrina and even more so in your area, the effects of Rita. Are there areas that you're not supposed to be shrimping now that off the coast of Louisiana that people have told you you shouldn't be shrimping in?
No. Okay. What we did was the day after Katrina hit, we got on our phones because one of the things was the price of fuel shot up.
Mm-hmm.
So
we remember.
Before I'm going to pay $30,000 to put into my vessel,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure that everything is fine, to where I can sell the product.
Right.
So we went in. I stayed on the phone all day that very next day and even went up to Baton Rouge, got in touch with EPA, which is Environmental Protection Agency, FDA, DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, and Department of Health and Hospitals. We wanted testing done.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that I did, the day after. We started calling and said, look, you guys have got to come down here and test. We need, if we can get back to work, I could fix what was wrong with my house.
Right.
And get things done here. I could do that, but I wanted my husband to get back out to work to where, we could just get back to a semblance of normalcy as soon as possible.
Right.
So they came down. They did a lot of testing. We requested tissue samples done also within, what was coming out of the media in New Orleans without any facts was that this stuff was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-huh.
So before I'm going to feed it to my kids and before I want anybody else to eat it, I wanted to make sure that this was something that...
And what were the results of that test?
Actually, everything's fine.
That's
everything
great.
Is fine.
That's
the only
great.
Thing that you have is the oysters. They are continually being tested because they're not a movable object.
They right.
stay sitting on the bed of the Gulf.
Right.
So that was the only thing. And the oyster fishermen and all those related, and it called a meeting. We went the week after Katrina hit into a meeting, and they called for a halt. Like anything after Katrina, you weren't supposed to be out there. And so they all knew that, and that wasn't even being done.
But that's oysters, not shrimp.
Right. Shrimp is fine. Everything. We just got another report out December 9th saying that they have tested hundreds of samples of fish and shellfish, and everything's fine. There's
right.
no concern.
All right, so we know that we can have our American shrimp for Christmas. I got to ask you a question, though. So did you ride out the storm on your boat?
Katrina, I did not. When it went to a 5... I took my kids. My husband would not leave, which was really frustrating. And we took off. We went to Vidor, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very, very hard thing to do, but I really felt like it was probably...
You got to protect
really
your kids.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
So, but
and
your husband stayed on the boat?
He stayed.
What is it like to ride out a Category 5 hurricane on a boat?
Well, you have to realize it really wasn't a 5 hitting where we were.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
we
Category 3. I don't walk outside when it's thundering. Okay.
It's something that we're used to, though. You have to realize we are used to staying aboard our boats.
Right.
This is what we do because in the house your electricity will go off. In my boat it will not. We have a generator
right.
on this boat. We rode out Andrew uh-huh. on the boat. When it hit into Louisiana.
Now, if he had not stayed on the boat, would the boat have been lost?
No, the boat would have been fine. Uh-huh. But after he's seen the pictures of Venice,
uh-huh.
he will never stay when it's coming for us again.
Right.
That. He was, I guess it was amazing to see what Mother Nature could do, what the forces of nature could do.
Yeah.
When you think you're safe, and you're really not safe. And I think a lot of it had to do with this. People were told this would not be, you know, this was similar to Betsy in New Orleans. Well, some people only had 6 inches of water for Betsy. But we're talking 30 years later with no barrier islands out there, no protection for our coast.
You know, one of the things that, I mean, you bring up a really great point, and you know the oceans better, you know the Gulf better than anybody up here. Bad environmental policy, if you know, it was similar to Betsy, 30 years later, and the difference is no barrier islands. We haven't done a good job stewarding the land, and so, yeah, hurricanes happen, but how they affect people depends on how well we take care of the land that we're given. I mean, is that, do you agree with that?
Yeah, but we have to put a lot of land back.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to be done about coastal erosion until, and we have done short-term items, and, you know, you need money to do this thing. This is huge. And they've let it go so long that, you know, to be honest with you, if another hurricane would come this way for the central part, we would look exactly like those who have been wiped off the face of Venice and Cameron and such. My house will not stand for a 5 coming straight at us.
Do you think the American shrimpers, the Gulf shrimpers, do you think the industry is going to come back?
Yes, you have some that were getting out anyway because they could not adapt to the change, and then money-wise.
You mean adapt to the change in the financial marketplace? Adapt to the
adapt to retailing. Adapt to getting out. What it is that it is hard work. It's very hard work to do what we do. But my husband loves it. It's a part of him. Taking him out of this business would be taking a part of him, you know, away. And that would, I'm not into destroying anything. And I looked at him and I knew he would be very miserable having to pull out of this. So I just sat here and figured out what I would have to do, what it would take for us to make it in this,
and
went after it. And I'm a very persistent person.
Listen, I think that's really great, and I think that what you guys are doing down there is phenomenal, and the product that you make is superior, and what you all have to do out there listening to this broadcast is you need to have good taste, and you need to have the good taste to recognize that the American Gulf Shrimp is a better product and worth a little bit of effort, so you can go to MariahJadeShrimp.com or other American Shrimpers and buy the real stuff.
And Kim, that's MariahJade.com, is that correct?
Yes, it is. But I wanted to tell you guys one thing. We do have a boat blessing, and you guys are invited to come down. It will be something you will never forget.
Very nice.
We'll be in touch, and maybe we'll even do a live show from down there. Thanks for taking the time to come and talk with us, Kim. You're doing great stuff down there, and we'll try and help any way we can.
Okay, thank you.
And
you guys have a good day.
Keep fishing for that American shrimp.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott from Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi in downtown New Brunswick. And our guest today was Kim Chauvin. Her website is actually MariahJadeShrimp.com. She's an American shrimper. They've been shrimping down there forever. It's kind of the heart of Cajun country. And I can't emphasize to you all enough, you rarely see fresh shrimp, and you can't buy fresh shrimp from her now, but you'll be able to shortly. And the shrimp that you buy in the market is not fresh. It's frozen shrimp that's been thawed, and it's probably from an aquaculture farm.
Almost definitely. I mean,
somewhere else.
There just is very little wild shrimp out there.
And shrimp is, you know, sort of a vehicle for cocktail sauce, but really great live shrimp. We get it on the wholesale market only occasionally. But when we do, my God, it's really amazing.
And by the way, since we gave out like 7 different names for the website over the course of this show, just go to restaurantguysradio.com
and
click
we'll
through.
It.
It'll be right. And you won't have to worry about all the different names for the website.
Mark's having a little trouble talking today, everyone. but we had some requests. We're going to put some other things up on the website. We've had some requests for what should I get my foodie friend for Christmas? What should I get my foodie husband or wife for Christmas? And there are a number of books out there that we really recommend highly. Well, of course, we recommend a gift certificate to our restaurants, which you can find at restaurantguysradio.com. But there's another event that's coming up at the end of January. I don't have the date with me, but you can look on the Stage Left website.
Is that when the the boat blessing in the bayou is?
No.
Because that's going to be a party, I'll tell you that
now. It's much more local. We have two women who were guests on the show, Blake Spaulding and Jennifer Castle, who were the authors of a great book that is at the top of our list of recommended purchases for a Christmas present for somebody. It's my favorite book written about food this year. It's called With a Measure of Grace. And they write about their experiences opening up a restaurant in an unlikely place with an unlikely name called Hell's Backbone Grill in Boulder, Utah.
Boulder, Utah. Yeah, that's right. We didn't say Boulder, Colorado. We said Boulder, Utah.
Population 180, while at the same time being the second largest city in Utah geographically. One of the least accessible places, the last place in America to receive regular mail service by mule train, and in the heart of a community of Mormon ranchers. Sounds like a difficult place to open a restaurant, does it not? But they have tremendous...
Well, especially a fine dine, a fine food restaurant.
Yeah, and they've had tremendous success out there. And the book is just incredible. They're going to come to Stage Left, and we're going to do a dinner because they closed their restaurant. The weather's so inhospitable in the wintertime. They're closed for much of the winter, and they open in the spring through the fall. They're coming to the restaurant. We're going to cook from their book. Mm-hmm. You can get the book signed when you're there if you want, and you can meet and talk with them. They're really interesting, fabulous people, and we've of course paired some great wines with the dinner as well. But even if you can't come to the dinner, you can go to our website and get a link. Mm-hmm. Click through the link to buy their book right from them.
You know,
fabulous.
I strongly recommend to go back in time if you didn't listen to the shows with the two ladies. The very, very interesting shows, and they're very interesting people. And go back and listen to those shows.
Called Hell's Backbone Grill. And so I think that's the number one book that I have to recommend for people this year for Christmas presents if you have a real foodie at heart.
We'll talk more about Christmas presents and things like that later in the week.
And it's more than just a cookbook. It's sort of a book about food that's also a cookbook. Really great. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.